Amen. Good morning. Afternoon. I'm just going to lower this a bit. There we go. What did he say? thank you, Joan, for the marathon of notices. There is a lot going on. Don't worry if you've missed something. There will be reminders each week, also on Facebook, and we would encourage you to take home a lovely sheet that the brilliant Louise Innes has prepared for us and put it on our fridge. So don't worry if the information hasn't gone in entirely, but it's lots of great stuff. I also really want to encourage you to try and pry some pennies out of your friends and family to not only encourage Gary and those who are going to be undertaking the Three Peaks Challenge, but also this is part of the bigger picture of where we want to go. We want people to really sign up to the vision of us sending people, not just from this church, but from the estate, overseas. And talking about vision, that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Can I have the first slide up, please? Thank you very much. Well, actually, what I'm going to be talking about is vision and values. We've spoken a bit about vision over the past 18 months or so, and we're starting, I feel, to understand what that is looking like for us. But what we haven't done so much of is talk about values. And that has been purposeful from my point of view. It's been purposeful because I just feel that we needed some time. Time to rest, time to put down, time to reevaluate who we are. But time also to allow the natural values as we gather to take hold, to reaffirm themselves. I'm also a bit cautious, or have been a bit cautious, about talking specifically about values, because I don't really want our values just to be a strap line. Something that sounds good, but we don't live out. And I feel that we're starting to get to a point where, if I asked some of the values that you feel we carry as a community of believers, that most of us would agree or at least identify with them. So I'm not hopefully going to spend too long going through this, but also we had a elders away day last week, and we stepped on this vision and values. We stepped on with the conversation and we took it a little bit further. So today is part of including you in that conversation. And I know you're a visitor, but I hope you say amen all the way. So can I have the next slide, please? So, house of prayer. Very simply, I felt God was saying, build a house of prayer. I will make no bones about it. I would much prefer, personally, that we are known for a church that prays than anything else. That we value the power of prayer, we value what it says in the Word of God, and we spend as much time as we can possibly manage in prayer. I know a lot of you spend a lot of time in prayer, and I would encourage that for personal prayer, but also corporate prayer. We've had some magnificent nights and times together where we've prayed and we've really felt God's presence. But it's only by coming together and stepping forward with the heart of prayer that these things have established. Next slide. The good news. God's love, don't keep it, share it. Good news, the Bible. I felt God say, be a missional Bible. Do what it says in my word. Share it. The keys to the kingdom are found in God's word. Life is found in God's word. Freedom is found in God's word. The good news of Jesus, that's what we carry. That's what we've experienced and hopefully will continue to experience. But as carriers of that good news, we're called to share it with those around us. And primarily, our target audience is Buttershaw. We won't stop there. That boundary is not, we will go so far and stop. But our primary target for sharing the good news of Jesus is focused on Buttershaw. And I think we are all in agreement of that. Next one. Grow. We're not talking about numbers here. The good news will actually bring the numbers. As we share our belief and faith and experience through the gospel and prayer to those that we meet, it's actually when we mean growth, we mean personal growth. A life-giving growth that is born from within a person. And their life starts to look different. Their language starts to sound different. Their outlook on their own life is different. Their relationships with people are different. Their anger disappears. Their hope rises. The opportunity for a person to step away from doubt and lack of confidence into a life that is full of adventure and excitement. That is the growth we are talking about, where our roots go deep into our faith so we can stand like trees of righteousness. But at our elders' meeting, we discussed the 3 points of vision: prayer, gospel, and grow. And the discussions was a really easy one. But we had a discussion about the word grow. And we felt that although we understand what that means, because we've explained it, it can be misinterpreted. Because these visions are something not for us to look inward at, but actually, these are the 3 words that should be facing outward. So when people see us or see anything to do with us as a community of believers, they will see prayer, gospel, and not grow. Next slide. Empowered. We felt that the word empowered better summed up what we're trying to achieve. Because actually, if we are going to grow personally and deeper in faith, we need the empowering body of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit can only change a person. It's the Holy Spirit that can only open up new opportunities and bring freedom. So although grow is a good word for us to understand, I think, and we agreed as elders, that actually a better word for us to face outward with is empowered. Empowered gospel prayer. This is our vision. This is what we're aiming to do and be. To be an empowered community of believers, to see others empowered by the Holy Spirit, to invite them into the life of the gospel, the good news, and to be praying at all times for all things. Does that make sense? I am open to questions. But your silence is welcome. Aubrey. It does feel like that, and I'm going to unpack that a bit, because when we're talking about visions and values, I thought I'll just use Jesus as a brief example. Why not? He seems to have got it down to a T. So can I have the next slide, please? So Jesus, now I'm not going to try and unpack all the values and all the vision of what God holds and what Jesus fulfilled as a person. But I do want to focus on one or two things that maybe help us just kind of get to terms a bit more with the direction in which we're going. And I do believe in the Bible, funny enough, and I do try and use it as much as I can as a guide with the influence of the Holy Spirit. But just Jesus, we can't really sum up in words who he is in a nice sermon. Just looking at the many names there and all that he represents. But I believe if we can just define for us what Jesus wants us to do, then all these things will come into fruition. Things like forgiveness, the Savior, faith, glory, able to call Jesus Lord and actually do what he commands. Next slide, please. So it's the most famous verse in the Bible. But when you think about a vision of what Jesus came to do, this kind of sums it up in a, I won't say in a nice way, but in a very real way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And it's the second bit. That was the vision. The mission of Jesus was to come, to respond to that love. For God loved the world so much. And Jesus responded to that by coming to the earth. But the vision was for all those to believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus' vision was to bring life, not death, to break the power of sin, to rebuild the relationship between us and see his power, the Holy Spirit, open and a free gift to anyone who chooses to believe. Next slide, please. So, as a church, we have our declaration, which is our roots of that come out of Isaiah 61. And funny enough, Jesus used it as well. He used it when he came out of the desert after 40 days and 40 nights, after being tested, he went into a synagogue and he read this. And I've chosen this version just so it just seems to translate well to a body of people. And I quite like it. I prefer the NIV, but I quite like the Message version. And he read this. God's Spirit is on me. He has chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. Sent me to announce pardon to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act. And this is not only a vision, it's actually his mission. And it's nicely highlighted. to bring God's Spirit, to preach the good news, to pardon, to see the prisoners being released from their captivities. That's a visual picture of a human state, that without God, you are trapped within a cage where you're relying on your own knowledge and resources and outlook to make your way through life. It's a visual picture. And Jesus is the one who rips down them bars and says, no, no. You will see, not just in the physical, the recovery of sight, but actually really see my love for you, really see what I have planned for you, and to set the burdens and those that are broken by living within a cage, a prison, actually live a free and full life. Next slide, please. So Jesus did actually have vision. He responded to the mission and the vision of God so loved the world. He declared through the word that this is what I'm here to do. Because when he read that chapter from Isaiah 61, which is quoted in Luke 4, after he read it, he said, and today, this has been fulfilled. He declared that. He said, "What?" Basically, he was saying, look at me. This is all going to happen. Watch me carefully. But he actually did have visions. And one of the visions he has is when he was calling the disciples, which happened soon after he read from Isaiah 61. And some of us are familiar. He went to the docks and he called the fishermen. He walked past the tax collectors and called Matthew. But he also saw a picture of Nathanael. He saw Nathanael sitting beneath a fig tree. And he went and called Nathanael. And when Nathanael met Jesus, Nathanael was quite, what's the word I'm looking for? Skeptical, yeah. He was quite skeptical. But Jesus shared the vision. And he said this, Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, the interesting thing about this, I find, is that Jesus saw the vision. He had the vision. He saw Nathanael sat underneath a tree. But actually, the vision didn't really come alive until he shared it with the person. He shared the vision. He was basically saying, you can say what you want, Nathanael. You can be skeptical. But I saw you before I even met you. I saw you sat underneath a fig tree. And I'm calling you. And when you share a vision with a person, it actually starts to come alive. When a person who doesn't see what you see, but you start to share it and live it out, and it starts to come into reality, that's when actually the vision starts to grow. It actually takes life. Another way of putting it, if I've received a vision for this church, but don't share it, how's it going to come alive? How's it going to actually come into fruition? It's not. It will live with inside me, and I might see signs of it, but if I don't share what I believe God has said to me for us, then it will just die. It will just die with me. Or God will share the same vision with someone who is willing to share it. That's how it works. And this is our responsibility. If we believe in the vision that I believe God has given through me to us, then our responsibility is just like Jesus, to show and invite people into that vision. Next slide, please. So I just want to move on talking a bit about vision, because I could talk about vision for a long time, and I feel that I have spoken about vision quite a lot because it's important and I actually believe it. But now I want to start thinking about values. Next slide, please. Jesus, what did Jesus value? He valued spending time with his Father. Often in the Bible, you'll see that things would be going on and Jesus would just go. He would make space and time to be with his Father. Very early the next morning, Jesus got up and went to the place where he could be alone and pray. Jesus valued prayer. If Jesus does something, we should do it. If he does it more than once, we definitely should do it. This is what he valued. Every single time you hear about Jesus doing something, he never was in a rush. He only did and said what his Father told him to do. He moved in a rhythm, but that rhythm was born out of making time with his Father. Next slide, please. The kingdom of God. Jesus valued the kingdom of God. How do I know this? Because he spoke about this subject more than any other subject. Jesus valued the kingdom. But what does that actually mean? Because the kingdom is a kind of a summing up word. What does the kingdom mean to us? Well, it means healing. It means God's laws of heaven actually becoming the laws of earth. As it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. When we say, God, our Father who art in heaven, great be your name, your kingdom come as it is in heaven. Basically, we're saying the laws and rules of heaven, the place of paradise where there's no sickness, there's only freedom, there's only the presence of God, filling every corner, if there is a corner, come to earth. Come to Buttershaw. That's what we're basically saying. And that's what Jesus was saying. The rule of God come to earth. The laws of heaven be real on earth. Next slide, please. Jesus valued the Word. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It will set you free, comfort you, heal you, and free your soul. Jesus had many arguments. Well, he didn't argue per se, but people tried to argue with him. And one of the biggest things, or the set of people that came up against him, were those who followed the Word of God. The Pharisees, those that were learned in the Word of God and understood from their point of view what it meant. And Jesus often spoke from the Word. He actually said, I haven't come to undo the Word. I've actually come to fulfill the Word. When Jesus was tempted in the desert over the 40 days, he responded to the attacks of the devil through the Word. The Word of God is very, very important. It's our foundation stone. It's our blueprint. It's our guide. And we should follow the same example and values of Jesus. That we should say we value and follow the Word of God the best we can with the limited understanding that we may have. But most importantly, with the help and guidance through the Holy Spirit. Next slide, please. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus valued relationship. He valued every one of us. He values his love and desire for friendship so much that he died so we could experience that relationship. He died so you could meet him. He died so those around us could meet him. This isn't just a value or vision. This is everything. This is the pinnacle of our faith. This is the foundation stone. We've heard it said before, if the cross didn't happen, then we are wasting our time. And no matter what doubt sometimes I have about my own faith, when I think about how my life has been changed round from inside out, it's got to be real. I didn't make this up. I am not that clever. It was only Jesus that changed my life. I see the fingerprint of Christ on every single one of you. I've heard your testimonies, but I see it on people that don't know him yet. Our desire to see people being saved on Buttershaw is great. It always has been. It's been a core value of this church since I've been here. But that's only a snippet of what Jesus feels. I would like our faith to grow in that, our understanding. I would like for that vision that we share to be shared with others so they get to meet the living Christ. Not just because they get who we are, but they get who he is. Next slide, please. So very basically, we are an empowered people, empowered by the Holy Spirit to share the good news, the gospel, underpinned and highlighted through prayer. So if I was going to ask you right now, what do you think our values are, what would you say? Please, let me know. To be a house of prayer. Yeah, that's our vision. But it's also a value. Being intimate with God. This is our value. Yes. Family. Thank you. Being honest and real, being Yorkshire. Generous. being free. This is something we've said. And I really want to encourage you, because these are words that we're not just throwing out. Actually, we are starting to live them out. I'd rather not say we have any values, rather than saying we values and don't live them out. I don't want to be a person that welcomes people and say, we are a family, but we don't look like it. That we encourage freedom, but no. You just wait there. Don't speak. Don't move. That we are generous, but we don't give our time to people and our money, but mainly our time. And it's something that I want to kind of explore further together. It also brings protection and understanding. So if we say we are a family and we celebrate freedom, and there's kids running around and it's a bit noisy and sometimes people get interrupted, that falls within our values. That's who we are. So if someone comes in and says, I don't really like the feeling, it's a bit noisy and chaotic, then they're not really going to stand in our values. We shouldn't apologise if we say we're a family that embrace everyone, we embrace freedom, but the kids can't move, people don't only can speak when they're spoken to, or move around, or not move around. Doesn't really make sense, does it? So we need to an area of caution by not just putting vows up because it sounds good, but actually we are a people that represent them values. And this is why I've been cautious, because I don't want to put values onto you that you're not ready for or agree with. If I say one of our values is to see the whole of Bradford be converted, you might say, yes, but not yet. Not yet, Gavin. We're not ready for that. And I'd rather have that conversation now before we set them, because these aren't just for us to live, but it's for those who come into us to have a better understanding of what they're coming into. I don't really mind if people from Buttershaw get saved and don't come here. I'm not really that bothered. My main aim is to make sure that they get to hear the good news, that they get to receive prayer and they are empowered. And God will use and send them where God will use and send them. But at the same time, I do want us to be prepared to welcome people. And for us to be clear as a community, as a body, what our values are and what we're welcoming people into. And they can decide. There's lots of things we could do better. There's always going to be things we need to improve on. Let me put it another way. There is many things that I need to do better. And I'm meant to be a leader. I can't do this alone. I refuse to do it alone. For one very simple reason. God with us. That's it. God doesn't ask me to do anything alone. So why should I change that value of what God says to me and to you, that I will do all things with you, and then just have it that then I just tell you what to do or tell you what our values are? I think we can decide this as a body. I think we're in agreement with the vision. It may look different over the weeks, years, decades to come. But for now, this is what we're setting our sights on. And I have 100% confidence that as we start this new season, that actually that vision, just like Jesus shared with Nathaniel, and it came into life, that as we get to understand this and live it out, that we see life being spurted up all around Buttershaw and maybe beyond. I am going to finish by my ultimate vision. And it's not something I've necessarily seen, but it's something I pray for. Revival. I will never stop talking about revival. I haven't seen a picture of thousands of people, but I've heard stories. And there's nothing I want more, being an old man, being able to sit around with my children, grandchildren, family, and share stories of revival. And them hear how God moved powerfully. But it starts with the vision and values. It starts by preaching the good news. It starts by embracing and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it is underpinned by prayer. That is what God has called us to do. That is what I believe Jesus did. Let me pray. God, we say we can't do this alone. But I just thank you that you are a God with us, that you haven't asked us to do it alone. You asked us to seek the kingdom first, to spend time with the Father, to read the Word, and to live out a life that will share all those things. And Lord, I thank you it's not based on our capabilities, it's just based on our willingness to step out. Our willingness to share what we have received through experience, through knowledge of reading the Word and explaining that to others, and the testimony of prayer, where we have prayed and we have seen your mighty hand move. God, I thank you that you've called us as a family. And to the outside world, we may look very odd. But Lord, I just pray that anyone who steps into our family will feel the love of Christ. They will feel encouraged. They will feel valued. They will feel part of a family, a kingdom family that is looking to grow. Not for our benefit, but for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If any of you've got any questions or ideas or comments, you know where to find me.